I put down on the outline in your notes this morning some of the things that I thought would be real advantages to study the book of Galatians. One is we would get to know the Apostle Paul, because the book of Galatians is probably one of the most autobiographical books that Paul wrote. And it turns out that Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament books. The other thing that occurred to me about Paul in the book of Galatians is that there's a little bit of debate about this among Bible scholars, but I believe it makes the most sense to understand the book of Galatians as being the first letter that Paul wrote. I think it makes a lot of sense to think of it that way. And if that's the case, then if it's the first letter Paul wrote, let's look at the first letter he wrote in the sequence of things that he shared with the church. The second point there is that we can see some of the struggles faced by the early church during this transitional period from the law to the gospel. We've been talking, as we talked about the church, how when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, that's when the church began. And God began a brand new way of working with mankind. Basically, the nation of Israel it still exists and it still is important to God, but he basically put them over here and said, you guys are going to have to wait. I have an important plan for you that I'm going to pick up at the end of human history. He said, now I'm going to work with Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah and Gentiles who also believe that he's the Messiah. And those two groups are going to be joined together in something called the church. This is a transition period. In fact, the whole book of Acts, which is another great study that we should do sometime, the whole book of Acts covers a period of about 30 years from the time that Jesus ascended to the time that the Apostle Paul made it to Rome. It took about 30 years for all the things in the book of Acts to happen. That's all that the book of Acts tells us about church history. And I think it's really important that we look at what it was that they struggled with as they were going from Judaism to Christianity. There were some people that didn't want to stop doing Judaism. And that was one of the first issues, the first big issues that the church hit. And guess what the book of Galatians talks about? That's the issue. So that's another point. The third little bullet point there says that we can see from church history how important issues were resolved. This is the first instance, I think, where they decided to come together with a group of believers from all over the place and meet in a central location and have a big church council and debate the issue and then try to decide what the right way to go was. And then finally, studying the book of Galatians, we can clearly understand the correct theology of justification by faith alone. Paul thought it was very important that the churches of Galatia, as well as we, understand what the true theology is of justification by faith alone. So let's begin with asking the question, where is Galatia? This says the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. Where is Galatia? Because he says, in verse 2 of the book of Galatians, he says, Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. If you could turn to the back of your Bible and see if you have any maps back there. Well, one of the things, if you look at your map, one of the things you'll notice is that on my map it says the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea. You'll notice that to the very right, on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, is where Israel is. And to the north, kind of the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea, you'll notice there's the city of Antioch. We're going to find out that that's where the Apostle Paul was shortly after he became a Christian. He went to Antioch. And he ministered to the church up there. When he set out on his first missionary journey to tell other people in the Asian area of Asia Minor there about the gospel, he sailed down to an island that's there in the middle of the eastern part of the Mediterranean called Cyprus. And then from there he went north of Cyprus to a seaport, and then he got off the boat and started walking, and kept walking north up into, in my map it's green, on some of your maps it's pink. There's a huge area called Galatia. And Galatia was a Roman province. There were several key Roman provinces up there. Galatia was a Roman province, and it covered a very large area right in the center of this big landmass called Asia Minor. We know it today as Turkey. At the time of the Roman Empire, there were lots and lots of important things going on there. We would be shocked if we could take a time machine and go back 2,000 years and see what was going on there. The Roman Empire crisscrossed that whole area with major highways. And they had trade centers, they had medical schools, they had religious sites all over that whole area. Several of them were in Galatia. But Galatia was that Roman province in the very center of that area, and it covered a large space of land. You can see it kind of zigzags on my map. Kind of makes a little S curve there in the center. To the west of Galatia was the Roman province of Asia. On my map it's yellow, on some of your maps it's kind of a grayish blue color. That's also a big area. To the east of Galatia there was another Roman province called Cappadocia. And then south of Cappadocia was Cilicia. So to the east of Galatia we had Cilicia and we had Cappadocia. And then to the north of Galatia we had the Roman provinces of Bithynia and Pontus. And the reason I'm trying to pronounce those words for you is because those Roman provinces that are around Galatia also are important in some of the letters of the New Testament. Paul wrote to several churches that were in the area of Asia. Asia is where all seven of the churches that are mentioned in Revelation are located. The Apostle Peter evidently ministered in some of the cities that are in the northern part of Galatia, and in Bithynia and Pontus and Cappadocia. Because in his letters, he specifically addresses those guys. So you'll hear those names again as you read through Peter's letters. But here, Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. Notice he said churches. There were more than one church that he addressed in that area. But Galatia got its name because there were some people, way before the Roman Empire, there were some people who were from the area of Gaul. Which, when I think of Gaul, I think of France. Well, that's way over in Western Europe. How in the world did some people who were Gauls get down here? Well, evidently, early on in European history, the Gauls were fierce warriors. And they made a military sweep all the way through Europe, went clear through Eastern Europe. And they got to a point in Greece where they were over on that little neck of land there that allows you to cross from Europe into Asia. And they crossed over and they started penetrating into what we think of today as Turkey, into Asia Minor. They conquered all that area through there. And some of them settled in the northern part of that area that they had conquered. So early on, really before the Romans came to power, there were Gauls from that area way over in France that had conquered this area, and they lived up in the northern part. They were evidently an interesting kind of people. They became Greek speakers. They were familiar with Greek customs and culture. They were tall, they were fierce, and they were unpredictable. That's where the province name came from, was the Gauls. What the Romans did is they took parts of several kingdoms that had existed before they came, and they kind of put them together or integrated them into one province. They took part of the kingdom of the Gauls, and part of the kingdom of Phrygia, and part of the kingdoms of Pisidia and Lycaonia. These were separate kingdoms, kind of ruled by tribal chieftains that existed in that area before. When the Romans came in, they wanted to systematize everything and do it their way. And so they integrated parts of these other smaller kingdoms into provinces. We really don't know if Paul ever visited the northern cities. It's pretty clear that Peter did. But we're not sure if Paul ever visited the northern cities. But we know that he visited the southern cities. On your notes, you'll see where or when was the gospel preached there. You can keep your map open. You don't have to turn back to the book of Galatians. But I'm going to read a little bit out of the book of Acts, because that's how we know that Paul was there. It's Acts chapter 13, and I'll just read some of this here to you so you can kind of see what was going on. Right in the middle of the book of Acts, this was taking place. We don't know exactly the chronology of it yet, but we'll study it in a little bit. Starting kind of in the middle, Paul was in the city of Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, it says, there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul was the Apostle Paul's Jewish name. And so we'll see in Acts chapter 13 what happens to Saul. His name gets changed. So they were in Antioch. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, which is on the island of Cyprus, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. John is a guy named, his full name was John Mark. We know him as the author of the Gospel of Mark. But he had not written the Gospel of Mark at this point in history. He was a relative of Barnabas. Barnabas said, "Let's take John along with us." And I can't believe John's mama ever agreed to let him go, because we'll see what happens later to John here in just a little bit. They've gone through the whole island of Cyprus as far as Paphos, and they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar Jesus. And this, the next few verses tell the story about what happens when Paul confronts this sorcerer. But down at verse 13, we'll see that Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos, which is still on the island of Cyprus, and they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Well, on your map, you'll see that's when they sailed north from the island of Cyprus, and they landed at Paphos, which is the seaport there, and went to Perga in Pamphylia, which was a little tiny part of a Roman province there. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. That's all it says here, is that John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But later we find out in the book of Acts that Paul was not happy about that. He felt like John had deserted them. It reminds me of that time when I was a young man and I went to work at that camp, and it was only about a week. And I got so homesick, I just couldn't stand it anymore. Take me back to Jerusalem. I think that's kind of what happened to John Mark, too. I think he said, "I don't think I can handle this. I want to go home." And so he did. He took a ship back, and he went home. And later on in the book of Acts, we see that Paul didn't appreciate that. Because on their second missionary journey, when Paul and Barnabas were going to set out again, Barnabas said, "Let's take John Mark." And Paul said, "No way are we taking John Mark. You know what he did to us last time?" Well, Barnabas said, "No, I'm taking John Mark." And Paul said, "Well, you go your way and I'll go mine." We see in verse 13 that they landed in Asia Minor after they had left the island of Cyprus. Verse 14 says, "But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch." So now they're still going north, but they're on foot. And they're walking through some pretty rough country up into the mountains, basically, in southern Turkey. Evidently, at that time, Paul got sick. And when we study a little further in the book of Galatians, you'll see that that was the case. And actually, he ministered to those people because he was sick and he had to stop. And they took care of him. And he told them about Jesus and they became believers. That's kind of interesting how it all happened. We'll see that later. But it says, going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch. Well, Pisidian Antioch was a big city. There were a lot of cities called Antioch. You remember that Paul left a city called Antioch, which was in Syria. They called it Syrian Antioch. Well, now he's in Pisidian Antioch. Antioch was a term that was derived from a very powerful ruler called Antiochus. And a lot of places bore his name. But this particular city was located in the area of Pisidia. And it was a major Roman colony. When the Romans went into a big area, a big city like that, and made it a colonial city, then it had special kinds of powers. Special government, special rules and regulations, military garrisons to protect it. It was a big deal. When something became a Roman colonial city, it was an important city. Philippi was another colonial city. And Paul wrote a letter to the church of the Philippians later on. So, in verse 14 it says, they came to Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day, which would have been Saturday in our calendar, they went into the synagogue and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. And Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, he said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. And from verse 17 all the way down to verse 40, he gave a sermon. And I'm not going to read that whole sermon. But it's a really neat sermon. It's worth reading. But this was his recorded message to that group of folks in Pisidian Antioch. And after his sermon, in verse 42 it says, and as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. So evidently they really wanted to hear what he had to say, and they invited him back. So we see from Acts chapter 13 that the gospel was clearly preached in some of those churches in southern Galatia on Paul's first missionary journey. It says, now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes, it basically means someone who has converted from one religion to another, or from no religion to one that's not typically their religion. A Gentile could become a proselyte or a convert to Judaism. They'd have to be circumcised. They would have to follow the law of Moses, do all of the things that a Jew would do. And that was actually the way in the old dispensation. That was the way that you could become pleasing to God, was to do that. But now there's a new way that God is working with mankind, and you don't have to do that anymore. The Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Notice it says Paul and Barnabas, not Saul anymore, it's Paul. And instead of Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, it's now Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. The roles have switched. Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. So that's way beyond what Paul started with, right? He went into the synagogue, started talking about Jesus. They begged him to come back the next week. Well, the next week, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. But when the Jews, when the leaders of the synagogue that Paul had gone into first, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And they began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. And they were blaspheming And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you Jews first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we are turning to the Gentiles. That's a big turning point right there. I'm still in Acts chapter 13. There's a lot that's happened here. He quotes a scripture verse, and then he says in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Glorifying the apostles? No. Glorifying Paul and Barnabas? No. Glorifying the word of the Lord. Again, we see that very clearly as we've been talking from last week. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews arose, they aroused the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. You see where Iconium is on your map? They went east. They'd gone north to Antioch and Pisidia, and then they went east to Iconium, which is over toward the center of southern Galatia. So this is how the gospel got to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's the end of Acts 13. So we see that they preached in Pisidia, Antioch. We see now they're in Iconium. What happened there? Acts chapter 14. Pretty much the whole chapter takes us through the rest of the province of Galatia. It came about that in Iconium they entered the synagogue of the Jews. That was Paul's habit. He would go to the synagogue first. He always tried to preach the gospel to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. He knew that God had commissioned him to go to the Gentiles. But he always tried to give the Jews a chance. And so he went into the synagogue of the Jews, and they spoke in such a manner that a great multitude believed, both of Jews and of Gentiles. Because there were Gentiles that kind of hung around the outskirts of the synagogue. They called them God-fearers. Even if they hadn't gone the whole way to become proselytes of Judaism, the God-fearers would hang around and kind of listen at the periphery. But the Jews who disbelieved, in other words, their hearts were hardened, kind of like the ones in Pisidia and Antioch, they stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore they spent a long time there, speaking boldly, with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting, here's an interesting little passage here, listen to this. They spent a long time speaking the word, relying on the Lord, and the Lord was bearing witness to the word of his grace, and granting that signs and wonders be done. This is the sign gift that we had mentioned briefly a couple of weeks running last time we met. When the word of the Lord was still being written, the New Testament wasn't here yet. The word of the Lord was still being written. There were sign gifts, signs and wonders that were being done by their hands. It was being done to authenticate the word of God as it was being delivered to the apostles and prophets. All this new revelation of the mystery of the church was being given. Brand new scripture was being given to these guys. And it was being authenticated, or this is really the word of the Lord, by miracle gifts. But the multitude of the city was divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia. Lycaonia is a region, and the cities are Lystra and Derbe. And you'll see those on your map. Now, Lycaonia was one of those old kingdom names that have been integrated into the province of Galatia. So it may not even say Lycaonia on your map. I don't know, maybe it does in little letters or something. But the province was Galatia. The cities were Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And not only that, but the region around them was also impacted too. So now we get to see what happened when they went to Lystra. They went to Lystra first, which is just south of Iconium, right? You see on your map, they had to go south a little bit, and then they jogged east again. But they went south to Lystra. And at Lystra, there was sitting a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from birth, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him, and it seemed that he had faith to be made well, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man leaped up and began to walk. Again, a miracle healing gift that was given to Paul to authenticate that people should listen to the new revelation God was giving through him. And when the multitude saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language. Paul didn't understand the Lyconian language. So they were saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside that city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with all the crowd. They thought they were gods, pagan gods. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard about it, they tore their robes and rushed out to the crowd. So they must have asked in Greek, "What's going on? What are these people doing? We can't understand Lyconian." And when they told them, "Oh, they think you're Zeus and Hermes, and they're going to sacrifice animals to you," Paul and Barnabas said, "No!" They cried out and they said, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. We're not gods. And we preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things. You know, stop doing this kind of stuff to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. And in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons." He's talking about God in a way that they can understand. He's not talking about, if you talk to the Jews about God, they had a background. They knew who God was. They knew who Abraham was. They knew what God had done with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They knew all the stories about Daniel and the lion's den and all that. But these people didn't. They were pagans. So he had to go to the lowest common denominator to tell him who God was. He said, "This is the God who made the world. This is the God who sends rain." You know, that kind of thing. He went to the things that they could connect with to say, oh, this is the God you're talking about. It says in verse 18, even saying these things, they had difficulty restraining the crowds from offering a sacrifice to them. Here's where, again, we see this word, "but," you know, like, uh-oh. We could translate this, uh-oh. The Jews, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. And having won over the multitudes, this time they were successful in stoning Paul, beating him to a pulp, and dragging him out of the city, supposing that he were dead. It looked like Paul had actually died. But while the disciples stood around him, probably weeping and grieving that Paul had been killed, he rose up and entered the city. He got up on his feet, dusted himself off, went back into the city that he just came out of. He was just carried out for dead. He went back into the city, and the next day, they decided to go over to Derbe, which is just to the east of where Lystra was located. So now we see what happened when they went to Derbe. After that, they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. So it doesn't give us a lot about Derbe. But later on we find that when they were in Derbe, they met a lady whose name was Lois. And Lois had a grandson named Timothy. Lois had shared with Timothy the scriptures. And Timothy heard what Paul said right here in this verse. Timothy heard that, and he trusted in Christ for his salvation. And he stayed there in Derby, in his hometown, for a while. But then later on, when Paul came back through there, Paul said, you know what? How would you like to come join us, Timothy? And Timothy became Paul's right-hand man. So what they did is after they preached the gospel in Derby and had made many disciples, they decided to retrace their steps. So they went back to the west now to Lystra. Then they went back up to Iconium. Then they went back further to the west to Antioch and Pisidian. You can see the lines on your map probably follow, you know, back the way they came. They've retraced their steps there. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and fasted, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And they passed back down through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, which was the seaport, they went down to Attalia, which was an adjoining city on the coast. And from there, they sailed. They went back to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together in Antioch, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And verse 28 says, and they spent a long time with the disciples. And that was at Antioch. And I think, and I don't know if you want to do this in your Bible, but I think that you could take a pen if you wanted to, and you could write the word, in verse 28, you could write the word Galatians. Because I think that that is where Paul wrote the letter that we're about to study. Acts chapter 14, the very last verse. Acts chapter 14, verse 28. It's a short verse, so there's probably space in your margin. You could actually write the word Galatians in there. So we looked at where Galatia is. We looked at when the gospel was preached there. Acts chapters 13 and 14 tell us all that. The final point on your notes is who were these believers and what was their background. We saw several things here that I think it's important to mention. Paul always went to the synagogue first. If there was a synagogue available, he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So he preached in the Jewish synagogue to an audience of Jews and proselytes or converts to Judaism. And hanging around the edge were those people called God-fearers. And in Acts chapter 13, we saw that in verses 5 and 14 and 43. He went to the synagogues in a lot of different cities. Then we see in one place he preached to nearly the whole city. Well, that was way more than the synagogue and the people associated with it. That was other people that had an interest in what Paul was saying from all the Gentiles. So he preached to nearly the whole city. He was rejected, especially by the Jewish leaders, and so he turned to the Gentiles. And we see that especially in Acts chapter 13, verses 44 and 46 through 49, where he turned to the Gentiles. In chapter 14, verse 1, we see again he preached in the synagogue to Jews and Greeks, it says, which would probably be the Gentile converts and the God-fearing Gentiles. But then in verses 11 through 13 of Acts chapter 14, we see that he preached to flat-out pagans who were deeply enmeshed in pagan worship practices. They worshipped the Roman god Zeus, and they also had roots in other kinds of pagan practices. They had elaborate systems of ceremonies and rituals. So when they saw somebody like Paul heal that guy, they knew that it was supernatural. And they just naturally interpreted it in the context of their religious system, their God, and the ceremonies that they had to do. If a God came and touched down and talked with you, then you were obligated to sacrifice certain things and give him certain presents, and they were deeply enmeshed in that. And I think that's important to remember as we go through the book of Galatians. You'll see why Paul has to say some of the things he does to the Galatians, because of their background. There were some Jews that believed. There were some God-fearing Gentiles that believed. But there were quite a lot of flat-out pagan Gentiles. And that, I think, that is significant. When we get into the book of Galatians, you'll see why they got sucked into this error that Paul had to tell them about. Next time we meet, we'll talk about, you know, kind of the dating of the book, and then we'll launch into it and start looking at what Paul says. So in closing, I think what we can do is just, I'd like to read Paul's letter to the Galatians. You guys can follow along, open up to the book of Galatians, and just follow that along.